it really comes down to these, why I wanted to really harp on the power of movement driving brain health, the power of good exercise driving brain health, and the power of just a healthy lifestyle, like not excessively drinking, not smoking at all. Those things play a huge role and a bigger role in our brain aging well.
And your longevity.
And your longevity,
because we are all going to age, and it affects our skin, it affects our bones, it affects our muscle, it affects our brain ages along with the rest of our body.
That's right.
So, you know, again, exercising and eating right is not going to keep you looking 30 when you're in your 70s.
That's right.
However, those really great choices that you made in your 20s, 30s, and 40s make a difference at what your life looks like and feels like at 70.
Yeah.
We believe that you are strong by design, and you were made in God's image to have a strong body, mind, and spirit. You're listening to the number one Strength and Health Authority podcast in the world. So let's get ready to unlock your potential and transform your life in today's episode.
Hello there, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode here on the Strong by Design podcast, sitting with a good friend of mine. And it's a great person to have for this topic of conversation that we're going to be touching on some sensitive stuff today, some things that have really tugged at our heartstrings over the years, people that we've come to know and been in, very important in our lives. And when it comes to brain health and cognitive function, which is something that I think a lot of us take for granted, certainly when we're younger, we don't think about it at all, but becomes a very real thing as we age and can become a very frightening thing to think about when the brain doesn't function as it should. So having Tanya here co-hosting today really is a great counterpart, rather than me just kind of going at this on my own. And so I really appreciate you making the time to come and talk with us today about this. Listeners, I would like to first just say thank you so much. As I always say at the start of an episode, thank you for finding our show, for coming back, and for supporting us. If you're a new listener, welcome to the show. We kind of talk a little bit about all things here on Strong by Design. Over the years, Tanya, as a holistic health practitioner, has talked certainly a lot in that arena, but also in other ways. She's talked about family, and she's talked about faith. She's talked about, you name it, because we go in all directions
on
the podcast.
We
really
do. We cover everything.
We cover everything.
We do.
Living a life that's strong by design does mean a lot of different things to different people. And so we like to go off in all things body, mind, and spirit. And so today's conversation obviously is largely more about mind, but it also is heavily into the body, because
absolutely,
the body impacts the mind.
Absolutely.
And so we're going to go off in that pretty deep on that today. So again, thanks for finding our show. And please, at the end of this conversation, share this with someone who you feel this could benefit, someone who needs to maybe hear the things that we have to say today, maybe somebody that you have concerns about, that about this in particular being, you know, maybe a scary topic that you're not sure how to confront or to engage in conversation with someone. And then this would be actually a helpful conversation for them to maybe start to get that conversation going.
Absolutely.
So first, though, before we dive into the topic at hand, why are you such a credible person to have on as a kind of a co-host slash kind of guest expert in this arena? Like what, and just from your perspective, because I immediately thought of you as like, oh, I want to talk about cognitive function and cognitive health. And Tanya's definitely going to be the person I want to talk to about that. But what really sets you apart in your long history in the health and fitness space?
Well, coming from, you know, I am a holistic health practitioner, so that encompasses the whole thing, the whole body. And I've always, I've always had a very strong belief in that, you know, what the choices we make, the things that we do, not just impact how this part works, is the arms and the legs and all of that, but has a tremendous impact on the functionality and the health of our brain. So I've always, it's just always been something that has been at the front, like right there in my mirror, is that taking care of me meant not just exercising and the fitness part, but taking care of my brain, like taking care of brain health. And my father, he's in the later stages of Alzheimer's. So when I started to see that decline, it just became that much more of a priority in how I take care of myself, and how when I'm speaking with or looking at speaking with a client, you know, making sure that that is a huge part of the equation and what we're taking care of.
Right.
You know,
it really is. And I think I said either right before we started the show or maybe soon after, it is something that we don't give much attention or thought to, literally and figuratively, when we're younger, because our brain function, our brain health is just part of who we are. It's like your fingers and your toes working. It's not something you give much consideration to.
If you're lucky enough to be born like without having some sort of cognitive dysfunction,
right.
Okay, you don't really think about it because it's, you know, you're young and you're just doing things. You're going to school and then you're doing your homework and you're playing sports and you're out with your friends and you're just doing all the things. And then you have your families and you're just doing all of the stuff, all the multitasking. It's just, you don't stop and think about what you need to think about.
That's right.
it happens until you find yourself at a point where recalling things becomes, you notice like it's happened to all of us, right?
Yes.
You're going to say something and just bang, the thought
yes,
just
gone.
Instantly gone. Or you're talking to somebody and you can't recall the name or the last thing that was said. It happens to all of us. And sometimes that happens at any age just because we do get overloaded. We are so overstimulated in our time, so overstimulated. So I don't want people listening to think that, oh my gosh, I was talking to my mom the other day and I couldn't remember a certain person's name. That happens to everybody. It just does. But as you get older, as we get older, I know for myself, I start to notice some things like, wow, I write things down a little more. I have certain safety nets in place because we're very busy, you know, because sometimes it's like, oh, what was that? What time was that meeting? And am I meeting with John or am I meeting with Samantha?
Yeah.
You know, it becomes a little more of something you do have to think about.
Yeah. It's 100% true.
Yeah.
We are all getting tugged and pulled at in so many directions. So I do feel like that's a huge catalyst for those moments where we feel like, I just completely blanked. Or why did I walk into this room?
Why did I walk into this room?
But, you know, as parents, right, with kids and with coworkers and spouses and friends and, you know, all these people, like, there's a lot going on. I mean, everyone's so busy and so maxed out.
Our calendars are
so
full.
So I do feel like that plays a part in it. But where I really started to get more of a sense of the importance of this, the value of it, and the need for it was when I was working face to face with the older community, with older adults, with seniors, and seeing like a difference in virility and like vibrance with people, like people I would engage with, and I would see this great desire from some of them. But a lack of understanding, I think, or really like people I would see kind of wandering aimlessly in the fitness center in the gym who really had no sense of direction. And you'd almost see this like cloud following them because they weren't engaged. But as soon as you could connect them to maybe a Silver Sneakers group or a certain group of friends that it could sit down with and have coffee with before or after the workout, or they got involved working with a trainer, all of a sudden there's light would start within them a little bit.
Socialization is huge.
And so it was this understanding that socialization and connectedness combined with activity and exercise was like this special sauce. that was like everyone needs sprinkled on them. And then also combined with having a little bit of a purpose.
Yeah.
Right? Like we all need to have
purpose. We all need a purpose. Doesn't matter what age we're at, even if it's getting up. And I mean, because as we get older, there's things that we're not going to do quite the same or with the same intensity. But right. Everybody needs a purpose, whether it's, you know, you get up in the morning and my job is to water all the plants in the house. Like, you know, that's not to downplay, but you have to wake up knowing that everybody needs to feel needed. Yeah. That they're, you know, and I in my area, times that I've spent with senior clients and stuff, it's so important for them to feel needed because we all get aware, we're all very aware that we're getting older and there's nothing worse than being in that moment and realizing that you've aged so many years, you know, you're not working at the same level anymore and, you know, you may be retired, grandkids are getting older. So you might have less people in and out of your life, that's but right. You still need to feel needed because you're alive yes. and Why you still have I something here? To
right,
give.
Right.
You still have something to give. I mean, you might not be able to do the same things at the same level, but you still have something to give. And that's so important for people to have that feeling of need and purpose.
Yeah.
Because otherwise it becomes hard to wake up. Like that's right. It can become, that's where I think where the depression like loneliness and depression yes. can settle in.
Isolation.
it's isolation.
For older folks, it's got to be one of the worst
right.
things that I think really fast forwards or ages them faster.
Yeah.
And to have a sedentary life is an aging thing. It ages you.
It does.
When you are not feeling needed and you're also not utilizing your body, which mm-hmm. is the number one job or task of our brain is to move the body. Mm-hmm. It's not memory and thought, as a lot of people will think, oh, well, your brain is like a supercomputer. Well, it is, but it's driven. It's number one principle or guiding why you have a brain is to drive functions inside the body and externally to move things.
Yeah.
And when we stop moving ourselves, it's when we start to see that decline.
Everything slows. It slows Everything way starts down. To slow.
Again, your brain's not being needed
right.
or not being utilized the way it's intended to be. And so it starts to not be as capable in those areas, right? If you don't use it, you lose it. You know, with your brain, if you don't use your legs like you're supposed to, then your legs start to turn off.
Well, circulation, right? When you're moving, blood flow circulates, blood carries oxygen.
Yeah, and that's what's pumping through the brain.
So when that slows down, that flow slows down, you're just not getting, that oxygen isn't being delivered.
So
you know, at a level it needs to be.
Yep.
But it's very easy. I was working with a client, this is about 2 years ago, a senior lady, and that she was really struggling with that. She was really struggling with, you know, her family had grown, and she started to feel like very alone. And even though her daughter lived in the same town, the daughter was very involved. Like she had kids that were in sports, that everybody was an overachiever. So she was on all the committees and doing all the things. And my client, she was just so lonely and was becoming sedentary, like becoming less mobile, doing less because she just felt like she wasn't needed and there was no place for her in the family. She didn't know where her place was in the family anymore. And she also felt guilty or like she couldn't reach out and pick up the phone and say, can you come for coffee or do you want to come for coffee? And we had a long discussion about that, how, you know, that was something that she needed, and picking up the phone and making that call was something she had to do for her own like mental health and her emotional health, because chances are her daughter would love to, but because she's so busy doing her thing, it wasn't the first thing on her mind. Her first thing is, you know, get up, get the kids ready, get them out the door. Do they have their soccer shoes? Do they have their basketball uniform? Mm-hmm. Does she have the minutes from the last meeting? She had so many things in her Rolodex of things that she had to do that day. It wasn't that she was neglecting or ignoring her mom, but the call is something her mom needed to do to create like her space in the family, you know? And once she got over the fear of being a nuisance by doing that, it was a game changer because it became like a, you know, twice a week thing. once the kids were at school, the daughter came over, they had coffee, they went for a little walk, got her moving again, and things started to turn around for her. Yep. But yeah.
I think about some of the older clients that I worked with for years, and our time together was typically the best time together was actually just our interactions.
Yeah.
And going for a meal together after training and stuff, and them really feeling that I cared for them and that my time with them was valued, highly valued. And it wasn't just a get in here for the workout, see you later. Like there was more tied to it, to our relationship. And they could tell that I had a desire to see them on a regular basis, and it mattered, and they mattered, and you know, that's what you saw, that light, just that the way they could even be gruff at the start, of like that that day or session, almost like they were annoyed they had to come in for that workout, but immediately you would see that shift, and then you could see that kind of pleasure and enjoyment kind of take over for that time together. And they didn't really, they just knew I was there to help them. Yeah. And that was a huge benefit for them, but it really benefited me so much. And I felt like I was really doing something that mattered.
Yeah.
And it wasn't about their bench and squat and deadlift numbers.
Right.
It was more about them having more quality of life.
Yeah.
And I mean, to the point where they felt comfortable, like if they needed something at their home, that they would say, "Hey, Chris, could you help me with something?" You know, like, I don't really need a handyman. I really just need to reach something.
Yeah.
Or, you know, if they didn't have a son or daughter that was nearby,
right.
But they knew they could have me come because I cared for them. And so, and I think that's a real fear for all of us at some point when we start to reach maybe our, you know, in that the 40
maybe.
To 50 realm, 40 to 50 realm, I think you at least start thinking, you know, what's that third chapter of my life? Like if I already lived through the first chapter, I'm in the second, and the third one's, you know.
What does it look like?
What's
it going to
look like?
How do I want it to look like?
What do I want to feel like and be like in my 80s?
Yeah.
Do I, you know? And I've started thinking about it, like, well, how old are my kids? If I'm 80, how old are my kids? Do I have grandkids at that point? You know, and I've had I actually started having conversations like that with my own kids.
Yeah.
My daughter was like, so if I was 20, how old are you? You know, and I'm like, well, I'd be 60, whatever. And she's like, whoa. And I'm like, I know, whoa. Like, I don't want to be
old, but just wait.
I know. And, but it does, it, because we have to, it's not like you have to start thinking, you're not there yet, but I think it's good to start thinking ahead a little bit about how am I taking care of myself right now so that I am setting myself up for a good quality of life in my 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
What are the things I should be doing right now so that I age well? And a lot of us take it for granted.
Yeah, absolutely.
We take it for granted in our teens and 20s, certainly. Our 30s, we start to feel like, oh, my body starts aching here and there. Like, what's that mean? Like that knee thing that, you know, I never had
you
that
wake
before.
Up and it's like, well, things never used to hurt when I woke up.
Right.
And I had this conversation with a friend of both of ours, Will Grazion. We were talking today about, you know, we were looking at training programs and stuff. And I was saying to him how, because I competed for like 9 years back in the day. So my training was it was a second job. It was very intense, sometimes twice a day, super heavy, you know, and did all the things that you're supposed to do to take care of your body on that kind of platform. And I still go to the gym. I still work out, but I've completely altered and changed how I train. And I've had to, because my body doesn't respond the same or recover the same.
That's right.
So I've had to really think about
that. Some of that back stuff, you know,
that
your back has been an issue.
For my whole life, it's been, most of my life, it's been an issue. And when I was training for competition, it was an issue, so it was something that was factored into how I trained. But now it factors in, but in a different way, because I can't train like that. I can't walk in and deadlift 275 anymore. I can't. I probably could, but it would not be very smart. My body's different. It recovers different. So, and how I look at training is different. I'm not wanting or needing to get on stage. It's not even about fitting into skinny jeans. It's about functionality, mobility, health, and quality of life is really what it's about.
Yes. It is. We are training less for the aesthetics.
Yes.
And more for, you know, how does this make my life
how
better?
How does this help my body,
how does it help
my life,
my
brain?
Feel strong. And if, you know, how does this keep me upright? And if I do fall, you know, I'm not breaking something.
Right.
You know, and that was actually what, obviously, you were here. Back when we were kind of having this idea for the neurobalance therapy program,
that's right.
Which is not necessarily what we're here to talk about today, but it's worth mentioning because obviously the two are closely connected because it has so much to do with the impact of movement and exercise on the mind and how powerful that it is. And it's something that I made a point of working. I even recognized this in my mid-20s when I was working with older people in Connecticut that, like, man, if you can balance well, if you can do something that normally is done on 2 feet, but you can do it with one leg and feel good about it and confident, that's pretty good. Like, that's pretty awesome. If you could do it with your eyes closed, wow, even better. And it was fun, like, almost playing with people and gamifying exercise in a way that would actually have big time benefit to them. You know, like stability balls and BOSUs and all that stuff, those are fun. But in real world situations, how often are we, you know, climbing stairs and go up and down or on one foot to do this or in and out of a, like, how can I make real life scenarios feel better for people who are aging, especially up north where you still have weather and ice and those types of things? How can they feel more confident on their own 2 feet, you know, when they gotta, you know, scrape the ice off their windshield and get in and out of their car and climb stairs in and out of their, you know? So those things became very important to me, and I was able to utilize that skill set combined with learning more about brain health and the impact of movement on the brain, which I dug into big time a year ago to get my brain health certificate through the Functional Aging Aging Institute. And that was another big eye-opener for me was like really how powerful that exercise in particular has on our long-term ability to function properly, cognitively. Like, it's not all about crossword puzzles and Sudokus and I love doing puzzles and things like that, but that has minor implications on people's lives compared to them being able to move from one room to the next being that much more of a factor. And then it becomes a quality of life thing. Like, how do I keep people upright and not falling over in their own home? And the fear that takes hold of these people. We talk about isolation that we mentioned a few minutes ago. People are more isolated when they get older because of a fear of what will happen to me outside of my dwelling, where that things I don't have control of. I have a stepfather who doesn't even get up to go to the bathroom as much because of his fear of falling.
Yeah.
And so he'll actually urinate bedside bedpan type situation because of a fear of that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't want that to be my life when I get older.
Yeah.
I want to be vibrant. I want to be upright. Yeah. I want to be moving. I want to be confident in my steps.
Mm-hmm.
And so these things are really what we are driving to help people with. Obviously, what we're going to talk about with NeuroThrive and stuff, like how can we have an impact on people that supplements them beyond the stuff that we know works, like a good diet, a healthy lifestyle, an active lifestyle. I think I've mentioned an older couple that lived next to us in college. I lived off campus with my brothers in college, mm-hmm. and our next door neighbors, immediate neighbors, were Ed and Teresa. She went by T. Mm-hmm. And they'd been married for over 60 years. And they were the coolest older people. He was a car, he had a great car that he kept in his garage off mm-hmm. the house. It was just like his shop.
Yeah.
You know, he had this great car that he would only drive every so often, and he would tinker and work on it. And they were just the happiest people. And been married, like I said, over 60 years, but there was a glow about them and an energy to them that you could feel. And I really think it was based on their daily activity level was so high. They always felt like they had something to do, and going to play tennis together was a really big part of, they went out of their way to prioritize that.
Yeah.
'Cause they knew like this makes life fun, but it also makes life better.
Yeah.
And that was something that stuck with me even from my early 20s, like just seeing that with my own two eyes and seeing that as somebody that just knew that's how I want to be when I'm older. Mm-hmm. Like that's quality of life for me, not sitting in a recliner watching reruns and old movies, but actually being out in the world.
Yeah.
So that being said, mm-hmm. obviously we're very passionate about working with people and helping people in this way. And at Critical Bench, we were like, well, what else can we do? We have this neurobalance therapy program that's really benefiting people and doing quite well, mm-hmm. helping people stay upright. You were obviously instrumental in that, in the creation of mm-hmm. that product, being my guinea pig, yeah. my demonstrator, so to speak, showing people that simple yeah. things that it can do. And we said, what more can we do? What more can we do for this, you know, aging population or older population right. that can supplement them and supplement activity and good lifestyle choices. And so we're like, let's do a brain health supplement. Let's do something that's going to help cognitive function.
Yeah.
But from a natural way, that's not what a lot of people, you know, are used to. People gravitate to other things like caffeine-based things and other things. Like what has been your experience? What are people reaching for, you know, beyond exercise and diet that is maybe giving them the effects that they're seeking or that they're after when it comes to cognitive function?
I think what you said about caffeine, like stimulants, people tends to be the first go-to. Like you're feeling sleepy, you're just not there, so have a cup of coffee or something right. like a stimulant. And that, I mean, that can definitely give you a little bit of a lift. But again, it's sort of like treating the symptom at the moment, right? I'm not quite on and I need to get my mojo back. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. Like right. I know like for me between 2 and 3 o'clock is sort of when I have that dip in like the afternoon,
almost now.
Mid afternoon. Right. And that's, you know, if I'm going to have a coffee, that's sort of when I'll do it, I'll have a coffee and it just kind of gives you that little bit of a lift. But beyond that, like supplement wise, I mean, ginkgo was always for a long time. Ginkgo's been a big thing. So is like GABA. There's all kinds of natural like supplements, herbals and stuff that, you know, are trending in the moment. And none of them are bad. They all can provide some benefit. But at the end of the day, you can't out supplement poor lifestyle choices.
That's
so,
right.
I mean, things like fats. Eating good fats.
Yes.
We need fats and we need carbs. We need these things to, you're not just feeding the body. Like so much of that is so important for your brain and your brain health. And, you know, a really nutritionally dense diet is so impactful on your brain health.
Mm.
You know, it really is. And you know, I do understand there's probably people that might be listening saying, well, what about people that get Parkinson's and people that get, yes, diseases, cognitive diseases that impact cognitive function happen.
Yes.
And sometimes it happens to very healthy people who've done all the right things.
Very healthy people right? do all the right things right. still can get cancer.
That's right. People, you know, that are excellent drivers can get into car accidents.
That's exactly right.
You know, it you can do all of the right things and make all of the best choices and this can still happen. However, that doesn't mean throw caution to the wind and be like, well, it can happen anyway, so I'm just not going to care about it.
That's right.
I wouldn't recommend that. I strongly encourage people, like when people come and talk to me, you know, if the first thing I want to know is how are they eating? How much are they moving? because those are just two things that are within your control that you can do something to make a difference and help move the needle, or at least keep it from going backwards.
Yeah,
you know?
that's where you need to start. And I'm so glad that you mentioned that about, you know, fat, the right fats and the right types of carbohydrates, because we are what we eat, literally. And our brain is benefiting from good complex carbohydrates, really good fats like from eggs and avocados and nuts
and seeds
and, you know, the healthier oils, obviously, that are in the world, because there's a lot of bad oil choices out there, but there's good ones too. And if you want to hear more about oils, go back a few years to your episode with Udo's oil, but what is
His name is Udo, but what's his?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I can't think of his whole name.
Neither can I.
Oh, bummer.
See?
I know.
I need to go eat an avocado.
I'm having a brain moment.
I need to eat an avocado.
Erasmus? No.
It's something like that, though.
Yeah, it is something. But Udo's oil.
Udo's oil, yeah. We talked with him. Had a great podcast with him.
You certainly did, yeah.
It was really, that was, that's, go back in the, I recommend in the listening to that one. That was a good show.
It was really good.
That was a good show.
That was an enlightening conversation. Yeah. But it really does come down to those things. And remember, what we're going to touch on, talking to you about NeuroThrive as a brain health supplement, a cognitive function improver, it really comes down to these, why I wanted to really harp on the power of movement driving brain health, the power of good exercise driving brain health, and the power of just a healthy lifestyle, like not excessively drinking, not smoking at all. Those things play a huge role and a bigger role in our brain aging well.
And your longevity.
And your longevity,
because we are all going to age, and it affects our skin, it affects our bones, it affects our muscle, it affects our brain ages along with the rest of our body.
Right.
So, you know, again, exercising and eating right is not going to keep you looking 30 when you're in your 70s.
That's right.
However, those really great choices that you made in your 20s, 30s, and 40s make a difference at what your life looks like and feels like at 70.
Yeah. That's what I wanted to mention. There was this is a word that was prevalent in my brain health certification, and it's called cognitive reserve.
Mm.
And I found it really intriguing. Cognitive reserve is really kind of putting in the work and how that work pays off in the long run.
It's the investment.
It's that investment in yourself, in your 30s, 40s, and 50s, and how that sets you up for success later in life.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you neglect yourself and ignore good decisions, good choices for a certain amount of time, it will come back to bite you,
mm-hmm.
and you won't age well. It's really hard to really clean up your act when you're in your 60s.
Well, patterns are behavior, right?
When they're, you've been set, making the wrong choices for decades, it can be done. It's just very hard. You're really working from like zero.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do a lot of the stuff like we are right now, not smoking, not excessively drinking,
mm-hmm.
making good food, eating whole foods, mm-hmm. exercising being a priority, and all of these things. And then other things for our mental health, like listening to good music and podcasts and reading and, you know, spending time with people that we love and those things, that leads to improved cognitive function and as we age, so that if we do come to a fork in the road, a hiccup, a mm-hmm. pothole, whatever you want to say, we can seemingly overcome it fairly well.
Well, you got that. Like I said, it's in reserve. What we put in reserve. Like my former father-in-law just amazes me. I love that man dearly to this day. And to compare it, like him and my dad. So my dad worked hard, was very active. You know, he liked his snacks and stuff like that. But my dad did a lot to take care of himself.
Hmm.
He happened to get Alzheimer's, but also three of his other siblings did.
Wow.
So there's
the hereditary thing.
Seems like, something
there.
Like that. But my former father-in-law, who is going into, he's in his late 80s or something, after about 70, the man did not age anymore. It's like the clock stopped. And I mean, he worked hard his whole life. He was a farmer, so he was very active and up and down, you know, machinery and all of that. Very well-read, well-traveled, taught himself how to play the piano. And only now, at the age he's at now, he's starting to show some of that old age forgetfulness. The thing, the normal, like the brain gets older and it gets tougher to recall things. And only now he's starting to show that.
Wow.
You know, and it was amazing. It's just, amazing.
He's just been gliding for all these years.
It's amazing. Still, unarguably the smartest man in the room anywhere he is.
Wow. That's fantastic.
Intelligent and witty.
I love to see that. Yeah, that wit from older people. I always enjoyed that. From a very young age, I come across those people like at church or something, you know, when I was little. And then certainly when I was a GM at a tennis and fitness center, because we were commenting on your cool little tennis outfit that you have on today.
And I don't play tennis.
I used to be, all right? But you look like you could.
It's a ruse.
It's just totally a ruse. I was around people that looked very much like this. Women, of course, women and men that, what was I saying? Jeez, I just lost the train of thought. At the tennis and fitness center.
Smartest man in the room. My father-in-law. Aging the clock.
It was just people that were in their 70s and 80s, but had this sense of humor.
Yeah.
And very quick witted, and these great comebacks. Just when you know, when I was younger than I am now, and I thought, oh, I'll get them with this jab, and they would come right back at me. I'm like, wow, man, this person's on their thing. Yeah. You know? And they're like 84 years old, and they're just coming right back at you.
It's really.
I love to see that.
I
have brain moments. We talk about it. Like, I just had two.
Yes.
And it's only been like 35 minutes. I've had two of them. I have them every day. However.
Are you eating your fats?
Am I eating enough natto, which is one of these? No, so talking about that. And, you know, when people think of like, if you think of some of these Asian cultures, like the Okinawans.
Yes.
And their longevity. They have like a third the rate of dementia. In that culture that we have, but why?
Well, the way they live, they actually revere their senior population. Like they have a tremendous love, and they're still don't put people away in homes.
No.
You know, I watched. There is a great show on Netflix. I cannot think of the name of it, but that gentleman that traveled to like the five or however many places in the world that have like. Sort of like the longest living, healthy senior populations.
Yes.
And so Okinawa was definitely up there. And just watching it and how the families embrace and continue to include on that whole, as far as part of a very meaningful contributing element to the family unit.
Yes, we need you.
You have to take your turn at the game. Like, no, you got it, you know, and the patience, because clearly as you get older, we're moving slower and all of that. But the level of importance of the elder family members' contribution to the family still, you know, get emotional.
No, I know. It's
amazing.
Emotional just to think
about
it.
It's amazing.
Because we do, we have a tendency, I'm not just making generalizing, but I'm just saying, in our country, we have a way of kind of segmenting or isolating.
We're so busy
that grandma and grandpa need to kind of go off and be with other grandma and grandpas somewhere because we got too much going on.
Yeah.
Where in all other cultures, grandma and grandpa are still at home.
Yeah.
Or they're still included. They're still helping. And I'm not saying this is all. I coach baseball. I have grandparents all the time that are helping with the grandkids and stuff.
Yes.
And that's what gives them that purpose.
Yeah.
I never saw my mom happier than when she was contributing and helping for her grandchildren. Mm-hmm. You know, she felt like...
At that age, they have time to enjoy it where, you know, like when you're a parent, because I look back now, when I see colleagues with their younger kids, I think, man, you know, I see them climbing on you and I can see you being like, oh my gosh, you know, I just need, give me 5 minutes. And I remember feeling like that and worrying so much about all the things that didn't matter.
That don't matter.
Give anything to have one day back with my kids little.
Yep.
But at the time, you're so busy with all the stuff that you don't have time. And then as you get, when you're older and you become a grandparent, you actually have time to enjoy it.
That's right.
Now you can sit and be patient and calm and enjoy
just watching them,
children,
listening,
right? Because you're not so involved and immersed in. I have to raise them. I have to teach them. I've got to teach them good manners and how to like take care of themselves and how to iron a shirt.
Right.
And, you know, how to cook spaghetti.
All these things, that grandparents really know well and can pass and along to the next generation. Yeah, no, that's great. So that being said, we had this idea, like, what more can we do to help people on the cognitive side of things? And how can, you know, how can we help them? Okay, we've already created a balanced program. Oh, I know, we can create a natural supplement, brain supplement. Yeah. And so what are these, what are the things that we're going to use? Mm-hmm. What are these ingredients that we're going to use? So we actually had, we did some research, mm-hmm. and we dug in and we found the things, starting with actually, well, PQQ is kind of like the number one thing that we went after, which is something that you get from natto, which is in the beans that mm-hmm. they eat in high, at a very high,
altitude?
In Okinawan culture,
okay.
it's heavily consumed.
Okay. High consumption amount.
And so, you know, there is research out there that shows that what PQQ, which I'm not even saying the word.
Yeah, some of these.
Pyrrolquinoline. It's really a mouthful. I can't even say it without screwing it up. But PQQ has been shown in studies to help regrow the mitochondria in the brain. Mm. And it helps which is the creation of new neurons. Mm-hmm. And neurons are our connectors. That's how messages and stuff are mm-hmm. traveling through the brain. And we know, like we've been talking about, when you don't utilize things, they start go dormant. And so when you create new pathways in the brain, and that's obviously going to help brain function over time. And so we thought, okay, well, PQQ being almost considered like a vitamin, an essential vitamin, is the extra special ingredient that we wanted in this brain supplement. But then we were like, well, it's not going to all be about one thing. So we have other things. GABA being one that you had mentioned is a neurotransmitter. Yeah. And it helps to, it's been shown to calm nerves. Japanese scientists actually discovered that GABA enhances memory and attention. So, I mean, all this stuff is scientifically backed. I mean, we didn't put together a list of ingredients that didn't have some kind of, has been shown to do things. So we wanted things that actually made sense that when put together would have obviously a multiplying effect.
Yeah.
Bacopa extract has been also shown to help grow neurons. And ancient Ayurvedic doctors, so this ancient doctors, right? If you go back thousands of years, people that were really smart, ancient medicine that's existed for a long time, way before Western medicine, that's what medicine was, by the way. It was things in nature that were used to show that, oh, that this actually has,
well, that's what they had.
Has benefit. That's what they had.
So they had to figure out how to use it in the best way possible.
So it's ancient Ayurvedic doctors have used bacopa extract to improve memory and reduce anxiety. And the active compound in it is bacosides. And it's 50% is the active compound for that. Alpha GPC, which helps create more acetylcholine, another neurotransmitter in the brain, involved in memory and attention. So that's another one of the ingredients. And then, so those are four of the big compounds in the supplement. And then we have three other vitamins that also have brain boosting effects. Vitamin D3, which has been shown in studies to slow down the loss of memory and cognitive function. And then niacin, which is also known as vitamin B3, along with vitamin B6, help to decrease homocysteine levels that are linked to dementia. Mm-hmm. So all of these things, we said, well, if we take the best of what's out there, the best of what studies have indicated have positive long-term effect on cognitive function, cognitive health, we'll put them together and we'll create our own brain health supplement. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we did with NeuroThrive, hoping that, you know what, if you're doing all that, listen, you're not going to just take this and it's a fix, you can't put a Band-Aid on a knife wound.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So don't think that your lifestyle doesn't play a factor here. That's why I wanted the bulk of our conversation really to be on what matters most.
Right.
What matters most is, are you drinking enough water? Are you moving every day? Are you eating protein proteins that are good for you, like eggs and meats and chicken mm-hmm. and fish? And are you eating lots of fruits and vegetables, right? And if you're doing those things and you're not smoking and you're minimizing mm-hmm. your drinking, you're really setting yourself up.
You're setting yourself up for success.
The groundwork has been yeah. laid. Now, what extra can you do?
Yeah.
That's what supplementation comes
well,
into
that's
play.
A supplement is yes. supplemental to yes. what you're, it's not, you know, it exactly like what you said. It's if you're doing all of those, if your lifestyle choices are largely really, really good ones, this is just an added bonus. Yeah. It's beneficial. It's a beneficial supplement to help support what you're already doing.
That's exactly right. I mean, talk to anybody like yourself who is very serious and a competitive, stage-ready figure competitor, right? Or a bodybuilder mm-hmm. or whatever. Pick your poison. They don't just rely on protein powder to get them there.
Yeah, no. There's a lot of chewing involved.
99%, right. 99% of their success comes from the foods that they mm-hmm. ate. That extra 1% was the gap filler, the protein powder mixes yeah. and stuff that they would have maybe pre or post workout. That's not what made their body. Their body was made by all those other food items that they had. And it was the supplementation, though, that just helped fill the gaps, just like a multivitamin. You don't need a multivitamin in the morning hoping that that's going to give you all the vitamins and minerals that you need for your day mm-hmm. to feel right. No, it's a gap filler. It's like, did all the foods that you ate have the right amount of vitamin mm-hmm. C or magnesium or iron mm-hmm. or whatever? Well, maybe if it didn't, this multivitamin helped to kind of fill those gaps a little bit, yeah. right?
And that's a really good example, like using the bodybuilding part, because there's such a science to it, and it is such a technically choreographed
yes.
way of living for a certain amount of time yes. to get a certain look for it, like for this end result.
For this one day.
Right. So you know, you're eating, you're tracking your macros, you're getting, you know, you need so much protein, so much carbs, so much fats, but then all the training intensity. And then when you're getting a couple weeks out, a couple months out, the closer you get to stage day, you start cutting back. So you have the supplementation is terribly important because you're really yes. stripping your body of body
Correct.
Fat. And with that, I will say, because I think the last competition I stepped on stage, was I at 9% body fat, which is really low. It's not like but that's
especially
just
even
for women.
It's really low.
And I was so, my brain was just
couldn't function. Everyday things were probably like, I don't even know how to walk
and
out of my car.
And getting very frustrated because yeah. I knew going in that like, we just know that this is what happens. And then you have to build back up. But when that's an extreme. Now that was, you know, I was coached. I had good coaches. I had good people. So I was guided to that and then guided to the build back. So if you take somebody that, you know, isn't in bodybuilding, isn't in some sort of sport or doesn't have some
which
kind
is gonna
of
be
goal,
99% of our
right,
listeners, right?
When yeah. you're not getting the exercise and the nutritionally dense foods, the supplement is not going to be as beneficial.
That's right.
But if you're doing 80% really well, the supplement can be tremendously beneficial to the yeah. overall outcome of how life looks yeah. for you
yeah.
in your senior years.
Yeah, absolutely right. And, you know, I wish I could go back and, you know, knowing the stuff I know now.
That's part of learning and getting old. We're actually quite wise when we, yeah. you know, that whole elderly wise person. Mm-hmm. It's very true.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you have been living and engaged in life, you can look back and go, I made some really stupid decisions.
That's right. I actually feel for people who don't think that about themselves, because if they think they've got it all down, and they've never had a moment in their life where they're like, you know.
I'm just really glad cell phones weren't around when we were younger.
That's true. I am too. The stupid selfies and the dumb
being able to record somebody in a moment.
People would have had of me doing stuff.
Things they would have recorded. Things
that's
said.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, oh.
No, those didn't exist until after college for me. Same for you. And that's a good thing.
It's a good thing. That's we had the really old like push button tape yeah. recorder, and you would go back yes. and erase it and redo it till you got it right.
Kind of thing. That's exactly
yeah.
right.
Not today.
Yeah. Like Polaroids were like a big deal like in school growing up. You know, and no one has those pictures anymore. You know what I mean? Maybe someone's got like one.
Yeah.
blackmail photo of me somewhere.
Yeah, with some crazy hat on or something silly.
You know,
yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, you know, that's what the big takeaway I wanted from us discussing this today and for our listeners was to say, you know, you have so much control. We talk about the name of the show, Strong by Design. Mm-hmm. You have the capacity to design your future, your life. And I just say to anyone in their 30s, 40s, and 50s, start making those better decisions now, those better choices now. Replace a bad habit with a good habit. Start slow, baby steps. You know, drink more water instead of soda. You know, eat more fruits and vegetables instead of, you know, processed stuff that sits on a shelf for 7 months and doesn't go bad, right? It's like, start to do some of those things a little bit now so that when you are 50 and 60, you've already created that cognitive reserve and your body is feeling pretty darn good. You're strong, you're moving, you're exercising, hopefully on a regular basis, should be daily basis. And now you've paved the way for yourself. And then a supplement like NeuroThrive does have the effects that you're hoping. All of a sudden, oh wow, I do feel like my memory's a little bit sharper than it was because I'm taking this, or I do feel like a little bit more clear headed, or I feel a little bit like I'm remembering things that, you know, normally maybe I was forgetting because things are kind of happening at the brain level that weren't necessarily, or you're just coming up a little bit short, maybe with some of the foods that you're eating that you would get some of these other things from, you know, that are occurring in real food,
right?
Just not at the dosage. So, you know, these are proven dosages based on clinical and studies to show that they can have benefit to you, but the groundwork has to be there.
And, you know, the more optimal your health is right now, the more beneficial the supplement, the better the supplement can work in your system. 100%
true. 100%
true. Like if you put water in a cup with a hole in it, it's not going to hold a whole lot of water.
That's right.
Yeah,
I mean, you'll get some out of it.
You'll get some, but it's not going to be the same as if you had a cup with no holes in it.
That's exactly right. No, that's good. I appreciate that. Well, this is good. This is fun. Yeah. I love thinking about anytime I get to talk and think about the people that I had the most fun working with, the older. I loved working with athletes. I love working with people my own age or slightly, you know, my peers. But I really had such pride in working with the older folks.
Yeah.
And because I felt like I was helping my grandparent.
Yeah.
I felt like, you know, and I felt that bond with them. And I know they got so much from it that a younger person cared so much about them. And so I hope that maybe this conversation has resonated with our audience. And this is a conversation that you can have with someone your senior or in your life that you know that, you know, maybe needs to start considering, you know, maybe I should do more of this and less of this. And maybe I should try this brain health supplement because maybe it would have some kind of extra positive effect on me.
Yeah.
But these are very real issues that are very scary to people and are often untalked about. I mean, but talking about like brain disease is not like a great conversation to have.
Yeah, and talking about getting older can be uncomfortable.
Yes,
for people,
right.
You know.
Hey, listen, I see you're getting older there.
Yeah, right.
Let's talk. You know, it's like that's a tough one to start.
Yeah,
but it is worth having because we seem like we can talk about other things that affect our health. Without any issue, right?
Yeah.
No problem at all. We can talk about things.
Yeah.
But the brain itself is because there's a mystery to it, right? We don't know everything that we long to know about
the
brain, about the mind and how it works and how it ages.
But we do need to take really good care of it. Just like you would your car. You know, if you're taking care of your car and keeping it nice and shiny and in good working order. And the way I am... when I would work with elderly clients, I would say, you know, you would, if you made a promise to your child, your son, your daughter, like that you would, you know, just any promise, you would never break it. You would never break it. So make the promise to yourself to take care of your brain health.
That's right.
And just don't break it.
That's right. Don't break it.
Don't break it.
That's good. It's a great sentiment. Those people interested in, you know, the fact we've been talking about NeuroThrive, if you're interested in learning more about it, please go to, I have a link for you. Haven't done one of these in a while where we actually have a link for people, but I do. It's criticalbench.com/growth/brain-health. I know that sounds like a lot, so I'll say it again. It's actually quite simple. criticalbench.com/growth/, and these are forward slashes, brain-health. And you can learn more about our supplement NeuroThrive. It's been doing very well, by the way. It's been helping people. It's been performing well. And we're getting great feedback from it. So we've taken it here. We all did, like months before we finalized it and it went to market. We were taking it. And I do have one quick story to share about it, which I thought was really funny. I took it for the very first time when it was still had just a white label on it. But you know, it was the seven ingredients that we have in it. It was sitting on my desk for like a week or two and I hadn't taken it yet. I took it and I went to baseball practice that night. And it was while I'm at baseball, I was wondering why I felt like an extra beam of like enjoyment and living in the moment.
Yeah.
And just an awareness of everybody.
Yeah.
I felt really just, I don't know, cognitively clear. There was a clarity or something that, and I couldn't put my finger, I didn't know why.
Yeah.
And then the next day I was like, gosh, that was such a good baseball practice. And I don't know why, I just felt so good.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there working at my desk and I look over and I see the bottle and I go, holy crap, I forgot I had taken that. Mm. I didn't remember that I took it until I looked at the bottle the next day and I'm like, is that why? I mean, I don't know. I can't prove it, but is that why I felt this extra, like just being in the moment and really absorbing like this fun thing that I was doing with the kids playing baseball, teaching them, coaching them, and having just a great time doing it. And I just felt this extra sense of like awareness about it. So I don't know. Take that for what it's worth, but that's my story and I'm sticking to it.
Good
so that's just me. And I have to continue to take it since then and felt the positive effects of it. So it's one of those things that's an accumulation thing, right? Like anything else, right? You don't take protein powder once and it's a fixer. Yeah. It's something that you do, you supplement it on a regular basis and it builds and accumulates in your system over time. So same thing with this. So again, so much appreciation for you coming
to
talk about our number one organ, our brain. And this has been a lot of fun for me as it always is. Thank you, listeners, for finding our show. If you're a past listener, we are so encouraged by that you continue to come back and listen to the Strong by Design podcast. We hope you enjoyed this conversation today. Please share it as we've asked numerous times. But that's how the podcast really grows and reaches more people, is just by it getting shared by our listeners. If you're new to the show, again, we thank you so much. Go back and listen. We've done a lot of content over the years about brain health and about just all things brain related with Dr. Boz, with Dr. Dom D'Agostino. I think you might have even talked about the brain a little bit with, you had Saladino on years ago. I mean, we've had a lot of discussions over the years.
Comes up a lot.
It comes up a lot. Because it is a pretty important thing to talk about and that how we, our lifestyle and the things that we're doing and how it impacts that little thing between our ears. So again, thank you so much. It's been a real joy and we'll be back next time on the Strong by Design podcast. Who knows who's hosting the next episode? It's always a mystery, right? It's either Tanya, me, Jared, Mike, you never know, but it'll be a good
whoever
one for
pulls
sure.
The short straw.
Whoever pulls the short straw hosts the next episode. All right, we'll see you next time. God bless you.
Thank you so much for listening to the Strong by Design podcast. If you found value in today's episode, please subscribe so that more people can find out about our show. Plus, you don't want to miss any future episodes with the amazing guests and topics we have lined up for you.